Welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. I'm Janelle Eckerman, and today I'll be reading selections from the Decatur Herald and Review for Thursday, January 23, 2025. And the first article that I'll be reading is from the front page, and the title is Public Transportation, Decatur Buses Going Greener, and it was written by Brendan Moore. Decatur. Public transportation in Decatur has gotten a little cleaner. Two new Decatur Public Transit System electric hybrid buses hit the road along the popular Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and Water Street routes, replacing older gas-guzzling diesel buses. It brings the total number of hybrids in operation to four. The buses made by California-based Gillig do not require charging and can operate fully electric for up to 200 miles per day. They are fueled by B20 biodiesel, and this article is then continued onto page A2. In an effort to reduce the impacts from emissions, Decatur Public Transit plans to operate the buses fully electric within higher populated areas. The agency expects to deploy another three electric hybrid buses in the near future. It is just the start of a larger transition for the city's transportation system, but plans have long been in the works. In 2022, the city was awarded a nearly $17 million federal grant and has received nearly $10 million in state grants that kick-started the transition from traditional diesel-powered buses toward hybrids and, eventually, full electric buses. The city's goal is to have a zero-emissions bus fleet by 2040. The funds are also being used to overhaul the city's transit facilities, which will include the installation of rooftop solar panels and retrofitting in anticipation of the transition to electric. Last year, the city proposed reducing the number of fixed-route bus lines from 16 to 10, truncating and streamlining them to focus on the city centre and connections to the city's major commercial centres. Routes in areas of low ridership would be eliminated, though gaps would be filled by implementing what is known as micro-transit. City transit officials reiterated their desire to move forward with the transformation at Tuesday's City Council meeting. Changes would also include extending fixed route service to 8 p.m. and increasing frequency on popular routes to every 15 to 20 minutes on weekdays and 20 minutes on weekends. A key cog in making this new system work is the concept of microtransit, a first-mile, last-mile solution, utilizing smaller branded vehicles to take riders from a designated stop near their homes to either stops near their final destinations or to fixed route buses that could be used to complete their trips. Those changes would need to be approved by the City Council. And with this article, there are three photos. And the first two photos are from the front page. And the first is captioned, "An electric hybrid bus joins the fleet of the Decatur Public Transit System at the Transit Centre in Decatur on Tuesday, January 21. And the second photo is captioned, "Bus drivers switch out on a new electric hybrid bus at the Transit Centre in Decatur on Tuesday." And the last photo from page A2 is, "A new electric hybrid bus arrives at the Transit Centre in Decatur on Tuesday, January 21. With federal and state transportation grants, the Decatur Public Transit System received five hybrid buses to replace their diesel-powered buses, with two of them starting service last Friday." And those photos were courtesy of Joseph Ressler from the Herald and Review. And the next article from the front page is about healthcare, and the title is "Planned Parenthood Closing Site in Decatur. Four in Illinois on list, finances cited," and it was written by Brendan Moore. Springfield. Planned Parenthood of Illinois announced on Wednesday four health centres, including facilities in Decatur and Bloomington, will close in March amid financial challenges for the organisation. Health centres in Ottawa and in Chicago's Englewood neighbourhood will also shutter. none of the facilities closing offered in-clinic surgical abortions, but they did provide medication abortion and a slew of other health services. The organisation, in a news release, said it plans to expand appointment availability at its facilities in Champaign, Peoria, Springfield and Chicago's Roseland neighbourhood to accommodate patients' needs. It will also increase virtual options via telehealth appointments and, starting next month, offer medication abortion through its Planned Parenthood Direct app. And this article is then continued onto page A2. Patient care is and will always be our number one priority, said Tonya Tucker, interim president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Illinois, in a prepared statement. We made plans for the patient surge, however. Rising care costs and lower reimbursement rates from insurers is jeopardizing PPIL's sustainability. Unfortunately, this is the reality of many other Planned Parenthood affiliates are facing in the rapidly evolving healthcare environment, she said. We are making the difficult decisions today so we can continue providing care tomorrow and well into the future. Illinois has become an island in the Midwest for reproductive health care in recent years as surrounding states enacted strict restrictions on abortion both before and after the U.S. Supreme Court overruled Roe v. Wade in 2022. The High Court's decision prompted a sea of state-level total abortion bans, including in Illinois' neighboring states of Indiana, Kentucky, and Missouri. Ballot initiatives, many with the direct financial support from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, have restored abortion rights in some states, including Missouri. However, Illinois is still often the closest state where people from the American South and across the Midwest can receive abortion care, and that has created a strain on providers in the state. Planned Parenthood of Illinois has recorded a 47% increase in out-of-state patients seeking abortion care since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the organization said. Patients from outside Illinois now make up one quarter of overall patients. Previously, it was less than 5%. The increase came even before the fall of Roe. According to data collected by the Illinois Department of Public Health, the number of out-of-state residents receiving abortions in Illinois increased from 3,210 in 2015 to 16,849 in 2022. The organization said the increased patient volume, rising costs, and low insurance reimbursement rates have forced them to make difficult decisions. Services offered at the Bloomington Clinic, 1319 North Veterans Parkway, and the Decatur Clinic, 3021 North Oakland Avenue, also included birth control, gender-affirming care, HIV services, and sexually transmitted disease testing and treatment. Planned Parenthood said it was downsizing its staff to reflect the closures, but some employees at affected clinics may be offered positions at other locations or transitioned to telehealth. The announcement comes just weeks after Planned Parenthood of Illinois President and CEO Jennifer Welsh, who had led the organization for 7 years, stepped down. And the last article from the front page is politics. Pritzker, Trump threat to what Midwest values. And it's written by Brendan Moore, Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker declared on Tuesday that Midwestern values were under siege as President Donald Trump began enacting sweeping federal policy changes following his return to power in the nation's capital. Pritzker, speaking to reporters following an unrelated event in Chicago, sharply criticized the Trump administration for sowing chaos and confusion over potential immigration raids and for a wide range of executive actions. What I know is that people across the United States are having their rights taken away, Pritzker said. What I know is that vulnerable people across our country are under attack as a result of this new administration. On his first day back in office, Trump signed a flurry of executive orders, and this article is then continued on page A2. Among them, he pardoned more than 1,500 people convicted of crimes related to the January 6, 2021 attacks on the US Capitol. He also withdrew the US from the Paris Climate Accords and the World Health Organization. Trump also began a promised crackdown on immigration, declaring a national emergency at the US-Mexico border and reinstituting the pandemic-era Remain in Mexico policy that forced asylum seekers to wait south of the border while their cases worked through the courts. The president also signed an order seeking to end birthright citizenship, which makes anyone born in the United States, regardless of the legal status of their parents, a U.S. citizen. The order is expected to be challenged in the courts. However, as birthright citizenship is guaranteed under the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Pritzker, speaking on birthright citizenship, told reporters on Tuesday that the state will not follow an unconstitutional executive order. On potential immigration raids, Pritzker said the state had not received any communication from the Trump administration. The Wall Street Journal reported last week that Chicago would be the site of a large-scale immigration raid this week, though it is not clear if the plan will move ahead. Trump, addressing reporters in the Oval Office on Monday, was coy on when raids would begin, but promised that it's going to happen. Pritzker said the state has heard through the grapevine that Immigration and Customs Enforcement may be targeting as many as 2,000 people initially in the city of Chicago alone, but didn't know whether they'll effectuate that or how. Illinois' governor, though, reiterating his position that undocumented people convicted of violent crimes don't deserve to stay in this country and should be deported, said most undocumented people contribute to their communities and should not simply be thrown out. These are people who have raised families in the United States, who are law-abiding and often are the anchors of their communities, Pritzker said. And I think we should think very carefully about what immigration means to this country. It is what we were founded upon. It is something that we should have comprehensive immigration reform in this country and not simply have a president who is scaring people, forcing them out of their jobs because they're afraid to go to work, Pritzker said. Nothing that the typically vibrant business corridor in Chicago's Little Village neighborhood, gateway for Mexican immigrants, has been empty the past few days. Pritzker was critical of other aspects of Trump's first day in office. A billionaire himself, Pritzker noted the close proximity of some of the country's wealthiest people, which included Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg, to Trump at inaugural festivities. He suggested that Trump's wealthier allies stand to benefit more than many of the working class people who voted for him. As an example, Pritzker pointed to Trump's promise to impose 25% tariffs on goods imported from Canada and Mexico starting February 1. In fact, he proposed tariffs on goods coming into this country from Canada and Mexico and is proposing having an entire department that's dedicated to tariffs, Pritzker said. Well, guess who is going to pay for tariffs? So he is raising costs for people across this country, not lowering them. Pritzker also reiterated criticism of Musk, who made a hand gesture that looked like a Nazi salute at a Trump rally following the inauguration. The governor, who is Jewish, called it disgusting and said that Trump should call it out and Musk should apologize. Pritzker, a Democrat, has long been a fierce critic of Trump, a Republican, with the two sparring over policy disagreements. The Trump administration's response to COVID-19 and the president's often provocative comments, among other topics. And the photo with this article is captioned, Governor J.B. Pritzker declared on Tuesday that Midwestern values were under siege as President Donald Trump began enacting sweeping federal policy changes following his return to power in the nation's capital. And the photo illustration was from File Photos, and it is of President Trump and Governor Pritzker. I'll now move on to page A3, and it is in local and nation news. And this special article is from Hints from Heloise. Prepare yourself to deal with scammers. Dear Heloise, it's right about this time of year that scammers start targeting elderly people with various schemes to cheat people out of their savings. They might contact you in person or by telephone, email or letter. If they contact you by letter, you will most likely see what looks like an official letterhead from the Office of the Inspector General, or it might say that they're from another government agency, such as the Federal Trade Commission. Look for misspellings, bad grammar, or a request to click on a link or website that does not have ssa.gov in the address. These are sure signs that you're working with a scammer. If they call on you in person, they might even have a badge that looks official, but under no circumstances should you let them in your home. If you are contacted through social media and they claim to be from Social Security, it's a lie. Their agents don't do this. Their favorite way of contacting people is usually by telephone, and their goal is to scare you and get you to hand over money and financial information, such as your bank account numbers, your bank account balance, and anything else that can help them steal from you. Hang up on this phony caller. You'll probably be told that there is a problem with your Social Security account, or that you've somehow managed to win a prize. You could be directed to another phone number or website, but don't call their phone number or click on the link provided. Here are some tactics that scammers might use. They might threaten you about getting or taking some kind of legal action. Ignore it. It's a lie. They say that they will suspend your Social Security number and you won't get paid. This is another lie. They usually pressure you to pay immediately. Ignore it. They'll tell you that they'll seize your bank accounts. They always seem to demand secrecy. They strongly suggest moving your money to a protected and safe bank account. If a scammer calls you, report this and any other scam to the Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov/report. You can send a money-saving or time-saving hint to Heloise at heloise.com. I'll now continue in local and state news from page A4, and the article is State to End Subminimum Wage. Pritzker signs pay bill for workers with disabilities, and it's written by Michael Molson. Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed legislation Tuesday that will phase out the subminimum wage for workers with disabilities by the end of the decade. The law, approved by the state legislature last year, will eventually put to an end the practice of businesses and residential facilities paying people with disabilities less than minimum wage by obtaining a federal 14C certificate under the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938. Certificate holders are allowed to pay a commensurate wage based on the worker's individual productivity in proportion to the wage and productivity of workers who do not have disabilities but are performing the same or a similar task. Illinois is among nearly 20 other states who have passed similar legislation to eliminate subminimum wage for workers with disabilities. For too long, our state has left workers with disabilities behind, Pritzker said. Thanks to the incredible work of the advocates that are gathered here today, Illinois will finally be a state that rewards all work and all workers with fairness. We are sending an unequivocal message across Illinois and, frankly, across the nation that nobody should underestimate or undervalue the labor of persons with disabilities. The law known as the Dignity in Pay Act takes effect immediately, but the minimum wage provisions will not go into full effect until December 31, 2029. To ease the transition for employers utilising the 14C exemption, the state will increase hourly rates for supported employment and raise the personal needs allowance for residents in group homes and congregate settings. Additionally, a transition grant program will be created to provide financial assistance to employers who need support during the shift to the new minimum wage requirements. Countless policymakers and staff members and state employees brought their diligence and creativity to the crafting of this legislation to help ensure that the wage increase comes with minimal disruption to employers too and does not come at the cost of jobs, Pritzker said. The legislation sponsors, State Senator Christina Castro, D. Elgin, and State Rep. Theresa Ma, D. Chicago, first introduced it in 2018, but it took several years for it to overcome obstacles. To say that this was a challenging bill to pass would be an understatement. There was a lot of opposition, Ma said. My own involvement in serving as chief sponsor began 7 or even 8 years ago, but there were many before me who had been fighting much longer, and many whose continued advocacy and commitment were absolutely critical to making this day possible. Opponents to its signing claimed that sheltered employment programs, which provide long-term jobs to individuals whose functional levels require supervision, who are paid sub-minimum wage, would end as they could not afford to pay minimum wage for potentially low-productivity work. Pritzker, during the signing of the bill, also called on the new presidential administration to enact similar legislation at a federal level. The Biden administration proposed a federal policy that would take Illinois' policy nationwide, Pritzker said. Now the ball is in the Trump administration court, and I'm hopeful that they will work with us to lift up disabled workers. And also, in brief from the same page, Council okays fibre optic work. Decatur. The city's fibre optic network will soon extend east of Lake Decatur. The Decatur City Council on Tuesday, without opposition, approved a $530,000 contract with Bodine Electric for the purchase and installation of 144-strand fibre optic cable from Eisenhower High School to Fire Station 7, 3540 East Chestnut Avenue. The cable will be routed underneath the lake at Lost Bridge Road. This will be made possible following the installation of 2-inch fibre conduit that was installed last year as part of a cooperative agreement with the Sanitary District of Decatur. It will also pass near Muffley School, which may eventually be connected to the network. The city began building out its broadband infrastructure in 2014. It owns, manages, and maintains the fibre infrastructure, which is a high-speed telecommunications network that provides reliable communication links to its own buildings and is capable of providing it to schools, libraries, and businesses that provide computer connection services to Decatur residents. Currently, 5 of the city's 7 firehouses, Decatur Police Headquarters, several Decatur School District buildings, Millikan University and Richland Community College are among the facilities and institutions connected to the network. The project will be funded by previously allocated federal American Rescue Plan funds. And the next article is Man Shot at Mum Gets Probation, Decatur. The angry Decatur man who opened fire on his mother and sparked a tense armed standoff with police has been sentenced to 24 months probation and ordered to undergo a mental health examination. Cyrus H. Kinnan, aged 32, had been scheduled to face trial January 13 in Macon County Circuit Court on 2 counts alleging the aggravated discharge of a gun and 2 charges accusing him of being a felon in possession of a weapon. But on January 9, Kinnan appeared in court and said he was ready to take a plea deal negotiated by defence attorney Susan Moorhead. He then admitted a single charge of the aggravated discharge of a firearm, and Judge Jeffrey Gessler agreed to dismiss all the other charges. In addition to probation, the defendant also was sentenced to 180 days in jail, but that was cancelled out with credit for 97 days served since his arrest and other credits. Kinnan, who has been previously diagnosed with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, was told to get his mental health examination completed within 90 days and to finish any recommended treatment within 18 months. The case against him dates to the early morning of October 5, when Kinnan's then 52-year-old mother had driven over to visit him at his house in the 1600 block of North Morgan Street. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said the mother was concerned after receiving a series of threatening messages from her son. The mother saw Kinnan watching her from a top window as she pulled up and got out of her car. She stated as she approached the residence, Cyrus yelled at her, "Get out of here now, expletive," said Officer Malcolm Livingston, who signed the affidavit. She stated Cyrus pulled out a handgun and shot once at her. She heard the bang and she saw fire from the barrel of the gun. A team of specialist officers later surrounded the house after Kinnan retreated inside and refused to come out. The standoff lasted for several tense hours before the defendant was finally persuaded, with the assistance of family members, to give himself up. And the last article is work planned at railroad crossing. Decatur. Daytime commutes will be hampered Thursday and Friday, January 23 and 24, by a planned railroad crossing update project in Decatur. The northbound turn lane from eastbound US 36 onto 22nd Street will be closed to accommodate upgrades to signals and circuitry at the railroad crossing, the Illinois Department of Transportation said in a news release. Work will begin at 8 a.m. and should conclude at 5 p.m. both days. Motorists can expect delays and should allow extra time for trips through this area. I'll now include the Decatur four-day forecast from page B8. And today, very cold, and the wind will be from the northwest at 8 to 16 miles per hour, and the temperature 24 degrees. And tonight, it'll be cold, clear and frigid. The wind will be from the west-northwest at 4 to 8 miles per hour, and the low will be 4 degrees. And Friday will be quite cold, and the wind will be from the southwest at 6 to 12 miles per hour, with a high of 23 degrees and a low of 17. And on Saturday, it'll be cloudy and not as cold, and the wind will be from the southwest at 7 to 14 miles per hour. There'll be a high of 38 degrees and a low of 24 degrees. And on Sunday, times of clouds and sun. The wind will be from the northwest at 4 to 8 miles per hour, and there'll be a high of 32 degrees and a low of 16 degrees. And the regional outlook, mostly cloudy and very cold today. Expect less than 2 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity 70% and poor drying conditions. Clear and frigid tonight. Average relative humidity 70%. And in Skywatch, sunrise will be at 7:11 and sunset 5:04 p.m. And moonrise will be at 2:06 a.m. and moonset at 11:43 a.m. The new moon will be January 29, the first quarter February 5, full moon February 12, and the last quarter February 20. And in snowfall, Tuesday 0.0 inches, month to date 12.2 inches, season to date 13.1 inch, last season to date 6.4 inches, and record for this date 7.0 inches in 1902. I'll now take a short break and return with the second half of today's reading of selections from the Decatur Herald and Review for Thursday, January 23, 2025. Read by Janelle Eckerman. Please stay tuned.